The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. Allow me to read the words of God. No one lights a light lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Amen. All believers are said to have a king's throne inside their own minds. In such perspective, people can be divided into three different types. First are those who sit on the thrones themselves, and such is the case in which the Christ the King is outside of your heart. Your mind is always at trouble, at a chaos, anxious and frustrated, as you, who do not have the right to sit on the throne, are trying to control the mind that is even bigger than the universe. Second type are those who have received the Christ, the King, inside their hearts, but still are sitting on the throne of the minds. They take their Bibles everywhere, are active in doing volunteer works, aggressively attend all sorts of meetings and Bible studies. They pray and go to church every week, but they still believe that their lives belong to themselves. These are the people who are blinded by their own greed. The third type are those who have Jesus on the throne, and they humbly sit beside the throne. They ask the King on the throne about everything and anything, consider the King's intentions, and act on behalf of the King's will, and live under the King's light. Because the Christ on the throne is the owner of their lives and hearts, because the King protects their lives, they are never afraid, regardless of whatever hardship may strike their lives, and live on a happy and peaceful life. This is because they are under the governing of the Lord the King. And among these three types of people, you would be able to think about which type I myself would fit in. The Lord's disciples have been always longing for the kingdom of God because they went through so much suffering, not being able to eat, dress up, or be treated like a human being should, for their nation was subordinated to another country. And to those people and disciples, Jesus told about the stories of the kingdom of God, which he rules over using different parables. And those parables that describe God's kingdom are the explanations about the heavens, the ultimate concern and purpose of the humans, and the deep and extensive truth about issues ranging from gospel and salvation. From time to time, the disciples came up to the Lord and asked when he was alone, "When will the kingdom of God arrive? What kind of a place is the heavens? What does today's parable imply or mean?" When they asked, the Lord explained to them so that they will understand without difficulty and said, "The sower sows the gospel, and so sowing the seed on the path, the rocky places, the thorns, the good soil, indicates someone who listens to the gospel with good heart and keeping them, then bears 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times the fruit with endurance." In other words, heavens is where you will enjoy the abundance, like the fruits that people who actively accept the gospel that was sowed into the hearts that are like the good soil will gain. And then he said, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Just as people light up a lamp and put it on a stand to brightly reveal the things around, the secret of God's kingdom will also be revealed brightly before the people. And one should not keep the gospel to oneself and rejoice over it, but should go out to spread it to other people. The parable of the lamp is also recorded not only in today's passage, but also inside Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 4. To compare the contents of the parable in the three passages, Mark and Luke's gospel share almost the same context, except that it's grammatically different. But the parable in Matthew's book was told during the Sermon on the Mount, and is told in a different perspective with a different focus. From this, we can assume that Jesus has used this parable of the light at least twice to connote two different meanings. The focus of the book of Matthew was to have the disciples to make the light of gospel inside us light up between all people as an example through good conducts of following God's words. However, you can see that the focus inside the parable of the lamp, inside today's passage in Luke, is different. In order to find out what it is that the parable of the lamp is telling us, we must look into the passage in Mark chapter 4, which deals with the same parable. Mark, the author of the book of Mark, recorded all the parables that Jesus had told. The parable of the sower, the parable of the lamp, the parable of the growing seed, and the parable of the mustard seed. These four parables tell us that they were told to teach us about the secret of the kingdom of God. So in this perspective, the parable of the lamp is also another story that Jesus told to the disciples to show what is God's kingdom. Kingdom of God is Vasileia to do in Greek. And the word kingdom is a very proper way to express this. This does not just refer to a geographical country, but a territory governed by a king. That is what a kingdom is. A kingdom is where a king's sovereign power can reach. God's kingdom means where God is, where God governs. And that kingdom of God is just like a lamp on a stand. It means that God's kingdom is the lamp of the world, the light that brightens the world, and that it is like the lamp that shines through the darkness. That is why you can interpret as that you need to be able to make the kingdom of God the standard of life. And so you will live following the light, the words of the Lord that is the light that will spread and must be spread. A ship sailing in the sea should sail following the guiding light from the lighthouse. How foolish would a sailor be if he demands the lighthouse to move out of the way just because the ship is gigantic? If we are to live a blessed life, we must have the light from God's kingdom be our lighthouse, His governing our standard. Be part of the kingdom and be under God's reign. That is the heavens. We should be able to go to the heavens after we die. But the heavens is not somewhere you can go only after death. Ultimately, the heavens is where a believer goes after death, but we should also be living in the heavens on this earth as well. In Psalms chapter 18, verses 28 to 29, which is known as David's Song of Victory, David sings as follows after winning the battle with his enemies. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. In his times of trouble, David made God his lamp. In a crisis, like a candle before the wind, he did not fight under his own mind, but turned to God, asked for his help, and obeyed to what God had told him to do, because he believed in that the trustworthy God would lead him surely. We know of our own problems and pray for them, and yet the way we live our lives are as if demanding a lighthouse to change its course, like the foolish sailor, insisting our own ideas and opinions. How foolish would that be? The words of Jesus Christ, who is the light, should become the standard of our lives. That would lead a successful sale. Let us look into the first half part of verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. And if we are to translate this verse from Luke in comparison with Mark, while trying to keep it as close to its original meaning in Greek, to bring a lamp in is not to put under our horse, our feet, or under a bed, but to have it put on a stand. In other words, to bring a lamp in is in an active form, and this means that men decide where to put the lamp on. What's really important here is that it contains a very important message that the light is Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 of the book of John, says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And who is this light? Jesus Christ. Mark understood that the Lord was telling them that he has actively come in the midst of our lives already. Luke was saying, not so different from Mark's point of view, that we should not cover the Lord, the light, who is already within us, inside a clay jar, or put it under a bed and block the light. We have been given the light already. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When listening to this, the fact that Jesus is the light is a life and gospel to those who believe. But to the Jewish people who first heard this, and to his disciples who could not believe, this was a big issue. It would have been so, especially for Judas Iscariot. According to the Old Testament, it was because he is the God of light. If Jesus had given a message and hinted that he himself was the light as he was talking about it, then it means that he revealed himself that he is God, his divinity. And it would have been such a pain, as it would have been taken as a blasphemy for the Jews. And that is why they thought they should kill Jesus, and it became their excuse to kill. Also, the reason why the unbelieving Jews felt uncomfortable about this parable of the lamp was because God's kingdom is where God is present, ruled by the king, his sovereignty shows, and all territory where its power can reach was the kingdom of God. And the Jews only thought that God's kingdom was the heavens where people go only after death. On this land, people did not believe that Jesus was God himself, and that you will reach where God is only after death, so the heavens was somewhere you go after life. And they all wanted to enjoy all the riches and powers on this earth before going to the heavens. So if Jesus became the new king and formed the kingdom of God, they thought that Jesus will set free the prisoners, and they will be deprived of their powers, riches, and honor. And thus, they tried to hide the light inside a clay jar, or put it under a bed, and were reluctant to accept the light. The factor of realizing God's kingdom on this earth is to be governed by the ruling of God, the gospel and commandments by the king that God has sent. And if that influence shows, then that place will become the kingdom of God. By declaring that Jesus is the light, it has been already declared that God himself had disguised himself in flesh and came down to this earth and made his kingdom right here. The heavens is where God is, where we go after death. But just like how the seed of gospel had fallen onto good soil to grow and bear fruit among those who accept the words, where Jesus Christ has started on this land, where the light is shed and his words are obeyed. Wherever we bring the Lord, who has come to us during this worship, wherever it may be, we are already living in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is where we should live today, submitting to the governing and obeying through the gospel, living within and according to the gospel. Verse 16 says to put it on a stand. It says to put the lamp on a stand. If we are to hide the lamp inside a clay jar or put it under bed to hide the light, then there is no point in keeping the lamp. In other words, the light should be put over a stand or a bed. It is telling us that we should live a life like the light as we put our lights over the stand or over the bed. Some people's lives just don't resemble the life of Jesus Christ, who has become the light of our lives. We should be receiving and accepting the grace that is given to us of being present in our lives. But we hide the light inside the clay jar or put it under a bed, even if the seed is sown and the light came in, because we don't want that light. People do not like to reveal that they believe in Jesus. Revealing that you believe in Jesus will make things uncomfortable, so you hide behind the darkness. One should not only live by words, but should also live to practice the good deeds. But they are afraid to live within the gospel, and at times are scared to take the criticism because their actions cannot live up to the gospel. So they cannot say that they believe in Jesus. They do not feel confident to say they believe in Jesus. If a Christian, for example, was deeply addicted to gambling, then he or she would not be able to say that he or she believes in Jesus at the gambling house. They are always committing a crime, so they can't say so because of the fear of revealing their sins. And that is why they keep hiding deeper and deeper into the pitch darkness. There's no obedience in gospel, so they need to keep living an empty, fruitless, ungrateful, and unhappy life. Many Christians keep moving from a church to another. There may be many reasons to that, but more and more Christians keep moving from a church to another and do not register to a church. Why do you think that is? It may be a problem on the church's side or on the individual side. It may also be because to find a good church. But among the reasons are because they want to be a hidden believer, not registering, not volunteering, but barely coming to churches on Sundays only. Then that is the same as lighting a lamp and then hiding it inside a clay jar or putting it under a bed, like the Lord has taught us in today's passage. People who are full of Jesus Christ bear good fruits that resemble Jesus Christ in their lips and in their actions, in every way, that is. Have you ever filled your heart full of something? When your heart is filled with someone or something, you want to keep touching, seeing, be together with, talk about him or her or it. Every word that he or she says counts dearly. Want to fill your heart with what he or she says, or at least touch a part of his or her clothing. Everything and anything about him or her or it feels precious. I am telling you that you should love Jesus Christ the Lamb like that and fill your heart with him. Act and live under his light. Those who live that way will never be shaken or fallen under any difficulties. They can live the life of the Lord's light without being arrogant or corrupted, even if they are successful in any way. God spoke to his people many times and had wished that his people will form the kingdom of God, living inside the light. He pitied his people who were running towards the darkness, committing sin after sin, worshiping idols, even though he had begged so much. So he came down to earth as light to save his people. That is the very Jesus Christ. The Spirit God had come down to earth in flesh. Jesus Christ is the one who came before us in visible gospel, in human form, which we can see with our own eyes and feel the light. He came among us and taught us so that those who repent and believe in the gospel shall live in God's kingdom. And yet, people still hated that light and crucified him on the cross because they could not believe in him. But still, he was crucified on the cross till the moment of his death for the love of us, and then came back to life in 3 days to become the hope for all those who believed. And so he granted the grace for those who believed in him to live again even after death, gave hope, and showed himself to the disciples. The disciples earned true faith after seeing the resurrected Jesus and spread the gospel of the kingdom of God with unchanging faith until the moment of death and became true disciples that reside in God's kingdom. The secret of God's kingdom is never hidden and will be revealed completely. Let's look at verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. All of the secrets which Jesus had wanted to let us know were all delayed after the cross and the resurrection. All those secrets were revealed when Jesus came back to life. People came to know about it, came to drink about it. The Lord's resurrection is an event in which the Lord won over death and the completion of God's kingdom. Those who believe will be able to own the kingdom of God. Let's look into verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. This means to distinguish and take caution when listening to God's words. just like Jesus has well interpreted the parable of the sower, you need to see what type of soil you are in order to bear good fruit and actively accept the words of God, like the good soil. It's not talking about someone else, but it's telling you to actively receive the story like it was given to you today at this hour. If you don't, then birds will come eat it, wither, or grow bad crops. Jesus talked of the economics of the rich get richer as a conclusion of the parable of the lamp, and asked for a sincere attitude of listening to the gospel and acting upon it. Those who listen to the words when they were given and bear good fruits, they will be able to experience more joy and grace in their lives. Whoever does not have refers to those who do not act when they already know that the gospel is important, and such people will have whatever they think they have taken away. It is illogical that they will be taken for what they think they have, but this indicates something you think or believe in a wrong way. Those people actually have nothing, so they have nothing to be taken away. The parable of the lamp tells us that the unconditional, active acceptance of the gospel is a key point in deciding the kingdom of God. My fellow believers, our way to live is to come out into the light of Christ Jesus. Bring out the lamp that we put underneath the bed, onto the bed, and take the lamp out of the clay jar and receive the Lord that came in light, so that we may become the people of the kingdom of God that live in the eternal heavens, not only on this earth, but also after death, by residing inside the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, and thank you again. You have loved us sinners who are bound to die and called upon us to live a blessed life. So thank you, and we thank you again. Foolishly as we are, we have been living in the dark, turning away from the Lord, the light. We now repent and stand before the bright light of the Lord. Help us to live in the midst of the Lord's bright light and live in the blessed heavens. Please give us your help whenever we encounter hardships that we can't deal on our own. And shine your bright light upon us to walk on the righteous path, and let us not fall when we are lost in the pitch darkness, and to become your people of the blessed kingdom of God that fulfills your will. We pray for those, especially who have served for the 100th anniversary church and are now leaving. Let your light shine upon them, and let them become your blessed servants. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.